Yeah, Mr. D-O-double-R. I say, yeah, buddy. Rolling like a big shot. Chevy tuned up like a NASCAR pit stop. Fresh paint job, fresh inside. Is the outside frame in the trunk wide? Are the rims big? Do it ride good. Lean back, right hand on the pine wood.
Cream on the inside, clean on the outside. Cream on the inside, clean on the outside.
All right, hi.
Hey.
Okay. Welcome to the Black Table. I'm Strokes.
I'm Khadisi.
And we're back.
Woo!
Yay!
This is episode 6.
We're in here.
We're in here. We're here for good.
And you guys are listening. Like, I was looking at our analytics, and, like, people are listening even beyond release date. So that's
Yay.
Cool. Like, significant amount of people are listening. So that's nice. Thank you guys for checking us out.
Thank you so much. And definitely let us know what you think.
Yeah.
In person.
Not so much in person.
Strokes lives on.
No. We're not doing all that. That's okay.
I just want you to be accessible to our fans.
I'll let you be accessible to the fans.
No, it's all you.
Okay. Well, what's been going on with you? Any life updates? Anything?
Well, you know, all these good sponsors that we've been having. I, you know, recently just purchased. Well, not purchased, you know. I have a car.
Yay!
Yay!
That's dope.
Yay!
That's very exciting.
It's very exciting, but the real thing is, I guess I can be open about this. So I have, like, severe driving anxiety.
Really?
Yeah. So it wasn't that I didn't have a car just because, like, I couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the fact that, like, I just have an anxiety being behind the wheel with, especially with other people on the road. It's just, like, it's very weird. I don't really know, like, I mean, we did get into a bus accident, like a
bad
one. Yeah, when I was a kid. The Greyhound, actually.
What?
Yeah. So this is when I was about, I want to say 6 or 7 years old. And, you know, bus full of people. We were going from Arizona to somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I feel like it started there. Mm. But being like,
it's snowballed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why
I mean, have you driven yet?
Yeah. I mean, it's like my body, like the nerves hit my body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a struggle that I have. So.
Interesting.
That's why I don't like when people speed. I don't like drunk drivers.
Right.
Like, I'm very, like, anal about it.
Yeah.
I would rather walk or take an Uber
right.
or anything else than be in the car with someone who's reckless. So.
I can understand that.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, I'm working on it. Like, my dad has really been working with me on the weekends and things to kind of get me past that. So.
That's a really scary fear to have.
It is.
I completely understand that. Like, I had a really bad crash when I was, like, 20 mm-hmm. or so. And then for a long while after that, I was like, I don't even want to get in a car
right.
at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I completely understand.
Yeah.
It's, like, crippling, too, especially, like, in our city. That's how you travel.
That's how you get around.
Everything is 20 minutes away.
It's everything.
Right. So, damn.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well,
but
look at us learning about each
learning.
Other.
Learning. First, you show me your balls, and now you know.
It's been crazy. Intimate. Well, that's dope that you got a car.
Yeah. It's yeah. dope. These sponsors, man, I'm telling you.
I know, they're coming through. So I like IKEA to go ahead and start coming through because
Seriously.
I need you. I need you. I need you.
So we can get the same couch.
If you get the same couch as me, we're done. Okay. I've been talking about this damn couch for weeks upon weeks.
This
and now all of a sudden she's all the couch. Now she wants the couch. Now you want the couch.
I don't want it. I actually
wanted
a sectional.
I wanted the sectional. And then I told you I'm switching to one.
No, I always wanted a sectional.
You didn't want the sectional.
We're not
going to
do this. Okay. We're not going to do this.
Okay. They're listening. Sorry, guys. Sometimes we get a little bit.
We forget.
Yeah. We forget you guys are listening and we just go off the handle.
Yeah.
Anyway. Today I wanted to talk about some of our childhood experiences with race. And I know that we've touched on this in other episodes.
But this is the Black Table.
Right. And it's a coming of age podcast. So I think that talking about it from jump is important as we start developing like our so you guys get to know us a little bit more and
yeah.
stuff. We'll talk about it more.
Okay.
So this might be a heavy question to start off with. So when was it that you found out that you were Black?
Oh my goodness, that is real deep there. I honestly can't pinpoint that. So, okay, I'll just give it like an instant. I probably knew before then, but I'm just. So, it was in third grade. we had just moved back from Phoenix to Illinois, and there's this guy that I was crushing on, and he was like this little dark skin, like little cutie, you know. I was like, oh, he's so cute. So I tell all my friends how cute he was and write about him in my book, whatever. And one of them hoes was not loyal. And he found out. And then, so I didn't know that he found out. And I'm playing tetherball, and then he like walks up to me. He's like, pulls me aside, and I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, like he's speaking to me. Like my heart was pounding, and he basically told me that I wasn't black enough for him.
You weren't black enough.
Black enough for him. Yeah.
You mean like skin tone wise, like, or just,
I don't know. Well, you're got that gray. I didn't even think that he knew me, like knew who I was. I thought I was just like creeping behind him. But yeah, he told me that I wasn't like black enough for him.
Wow.
And I don't know, I was pretty devastated.
Right, I mean...
I pushed him.
Well, as you would.
As I would.
Wow.
But yeah, so...
Interesting.
It's, you know, it's whatever. But
yeah.
What about you?
I think, like, when I first found out that I was black, it was much darker than that story. And it, I mean, now it's darker because I thought about it after the fact, but I was... in a grade school where all of us were really great friends. I think that we had a really great... I still am friends with
And did
people.
You go to predominantly white school?
Yes. Yeah. And it was an extremely private Catholic school. Like, to private meaning that our class was 20 people. Ugh. You know what I mean? So it was just very, very small. Mm-hmm. And we had... I got along with everybody, and it was a really great time. And we're still great friends today. But I remember... I can't really remember the kid. I don't think they were in my class, but they're like, we should have a play date, whatever. And so I asked my mom, hey, can I have a play date with so-and-so? And she's like, we got to talk about why you can't go over to their house. And it wasn't the person.
Yeah.
It was apparently the person's parent that gave my mom some different kind of vibes, like racist, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she kind of sat me down and was like, so... this is why you can't be friends with this person like that. Like, be nice to them at school and stuff like that, but you're not safe.
What did she like? Do you remember any?
I don't remember how my mom knew that this person's parent wasn't okay for me to like spend time there, but I remember after her telling me that I couldn't go there, I was like, what makes me so different? Because all my other friends are allowed to go.
Right.
And I mean, I'm one of maybe 8 black people in this group of 20, 24 or whatever.
Yeah.
And I can hang out with any of them. But and a few other white people, whatever. But like for this one person, I was like, this is really weird. What's going on? And I think I was in about first grade or so.
Yeah.
And it was because I'm black and I'm not safe in that person's house.
Did you ever question like that person? Like,
no, of course. No. The first thing I thought of was, wow, my mom's so rude and mean and doesn't want me to have any friends.
Right.
And then, you know, I guess as time went on and as I started remembering this story and about how my mom had to like sit me down and say, the only reason you can't go is because you're black. As I thought about that, I'm like, thank you, one, because I mean, they're not going to harm a child, but you never know.
True.
And two, it's like, I could be really fucked up by seeing some really anti-black stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been to people's houses and saw some really questionable things. For instance, even I was 20 and I went to this person's house and he had pictures of his parents from years ago, whatever.
Yeah.
And the parents dressed up at like in blackface for Halloween in the 80s.
And that was like in their house?
That was just like in a frame on the wall.
Oh my God.
And then like I was there, so it was pointed out to me like, oh my God, isn't this crazy? I'm 20 at this point.
Yeah.
No, that's not crazy. That's really fucked up. Why do you have this on your wall? I feel crazy that I'm here.
Yeah.
Like, and I remember I listened to Marf Mello. If anybody follows Marf Mello on Tumblr or Mercedes, oh my gosh, I forget her name. But if you follow her on YouTube, like you guys know, she's big on YouTube and Tumblr and stuff. But she was telling a story about how she was in college and she went to her friend's house, who I guess is from the South, and the house was filled with Confederate flags. She had to spend a weekend with these people. She was like, they had like mammy salt shakers and shit like that. And it was
now
just
that's
like,
sickening.
Yeah.
That's
but sick. I mean, can you imagine like if my mom did let me go to my friend's house
and
we
your
just
kids
grew up
like,
together?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they gave me this mammy backpack.
Yeah.
Like,
you'd be like one of those memes where the like the black person is has a noose around their neck and their white friend's like standing next to them
and they're all smiling.
Halloween and it's yeah.
Exactly. But you know what? That's not even like that's not something that doesn't happen.
No, I know.
Like you see hella pictures, especially from Halloween, and we can talk about Halloween when Halloween comes.
Like, come on.
But open racism and then that stupid black friend who answers to black friend.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, sorry, I'm filibustering right now, but...
Let it out.
I was, like, watching the footage from the St. Louis Trump rally, and this one guy was yelling at this protester. The protester was white, and the guy was white, you know, Trump, whatever. And he pulls his friend, basically by the back of his shirt, and it's like, my friend is black, and he supports Trump.
Man. It's like that picture that I showed you. So I showed Strokes a picture of... a woman on a train and there's a white guy sitting next to her.
Oh my God.
And then there's this long story from a black man he posts of how he was trying to, he walked up to the lady, he had to soften his voice and politely asked if he could sit next to her. And she was like, oh no, someone's sitting here. So then he sits like diagonally across from her, still within view. And then 2 minutes later, the white guy comes and has no problem. She's like, oh yeah, have a seat. She takes her computer, her purse off of the chair, he sits down, and then the black guy kind of confronts her. He's like, so was there any reason why I couldn't sit there? You know, you didn't want a black guy, you know, whatever. And I don't know what she said, but basically he's like, you know, the white guy was like, you know what, I'll get up and let you sit here, you know, I don't want to cause anything.
As if I
want
to sit next to her still.
Right, as if I want to sit next to her still. And then so the black guy is like, you know what, I'm going to take a picture of her and put a Facebook post. So that's exactly what he did. And then the lady's like, I'm going to call the conductor. And you shouldn't be illegally taking pictures of me. And then the conductor comes and he's like, oh, hey, what's up to the black guy? Because apparently the black guy is like a famous, was he a basketball player or whatever,
or something,
doing shit for the community. And so she was feeling really salty. And so then he goes, you know, is there anything I can help you with? You know, were you going to tell the conductor something?
Right.
You know,
girl,
like, stop.
But then here, to backtrack, like to talk about childhood, her childhood. When did you find out that you need to be afraid of black?
Yeah.
Like, what is it like people crossing the street and all that kind of stuff? Where in your childhood did you find out that black people are bad?
In such a public space. Like,
you
can't
sit next to this free, almost free ass train.
You know?
A train is $12. You're not going anywhere.
You know? Like, and it's like, if there's obviously security and everything around, I don't get the fear. I don't get it.
And you're supposed to be on your phone. He wants to be on his phone. You're not doing it. Like, but then again, if it were me, and maybe from learning from my childhood, I would never approach a white woman to sit next to her, because if her charger is missing, it's me that took it. Not that she forgot it at home or anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's from learning as a child. That's from, like, going to stores. I keep my hands occupied to this day for the cameras to see. I don't put them in my pocket. I don't keep them low. I want you to see that I'm actively texting.
It's a lot of thoughts.
If I grab an item, I basically shake it above my head so that the cameras can see. I did not put this away.
See, that's funny, because like sometimes I don't care. Like, I'm sometimes really confrontational. So like, if you come at me, like, I'm ready. I'm looking around. Sometimes I used to, more so than now, like, look around for a problem. Like, if you're looking at me, okay, what's up?
Right.
Like, when I went into Macy's and somebody was like trying to accuse me of stealing. And it's like, you haven't talked to anyone else. You just singled me out. Like, that shit is real.
You want
That's
me
not
to
just
store.
Hollywood shit. Like, that really, you really are being looked at the moment you walk into a store.
Yeah.
You know?
I was listening to another podcast and the host was talking about being followed in the store. And she said, you know what? You want to follow me? It was like at a Dollar Tree type thing. She said, that's okay. We're going through every aisle. And I used to do that. I didn't know that other people did that. But like, especially in Target, I get followed a lot in Target.
What?
Yeah, I get followed a lot in Target. So they have like those they have people that are dressed up for theft or whatever, like in a uniform.
Yeah.
And they have these undercover people.
Oh.
I know that you're undercover because there's no reason you should be standing next to me in the natural hair section. What are you doing here?
Dead.
You're following me. Okay, so let's go to bedding.
Oh,
okay, we're going to go to electronics. And they're like 2 aisles away. Target is a little bit better than, like, it used to happen really bad at JCPenney, but nobody goes to JCPenney's after you're 12. You don't need school uniform anymore. But, I mean, it's bad and it happens all the time. And I don't think that people that aren't black understand that these aren't made up stories. Like you said, like, this isn't something we all group texted and said, this is the story we're sticking to.
Because these who wants to wake up and say, like, man, people just hate us and treat us wrong by the color of our skin or the culture that they don't understand. Like, no one wants to do that. How much time and effort and thought that takes? Like, no, this shit is actually happening.
It's so extra. And we learn from a very young age that we're basically going to be exhausted for a long time. You can either, grin and bear it and be that hokey friend that wears the noose around his neck and, you know, this is my friend. Or you can be a scary militant person that stands up for yourself, because there's no in between, apparently. You either ride along with it or you stand up against it, and then you have to deal with the backlash of you standing up for yourself.
And that's why, like, I think it's important to be around people like you sometimes when you're younger, because you're building the foundation for yourself. And if you're really not around Black people and you're Black, sometimes you just, not everybody can just discover themselves when they get older. Sometimes that's really, you're really fucked up.
Yeah.
You know?
You get stuck in it.
Yeah.
So when you were growing up, were you around a lot of Black people?
Yeah, we moved around a lot. And for a portion of my childhood, I was around a lot of my family members who were obviously Black. And then, like, when we went to Phoenix, it was like I was around a lot of Hispanics who thought that I was Hispanic.
Okay, yeah.
And then we moved to Indianapolis, where I really experienced like like prejudice, racism, all that kind of shit, especially from a lot of the Black people there. There was a girl
Did you go to Catholic school in Indianapolis?
No. Okay. It was a public school right across the street.
I'm about to die, because I have a family that lived there for forever. And they were one of the very few Black families that went to this Catholic school. I think it was called Bishop Chittard. If anybody went to Bishop Chittard.
Nope. Mine was Fort Wayne Elementary. And I feel like, I don't know what it was. I just did not click with, it was like two Black girls in my class. And it was just.
What was the thing that made you guys not click?
Well, I don't know. I think, like, they had money. They came from money, like many of the kids that we went to school with. And, like, I live literally across the street, and we still had to take a bus. Yeah, it was, and that's a whole nother thing. But I don't know. I just felt like they were trying to bully me, and they didn't understand, like, I had a sense of pride coming in. Of just being myself. And because they didn't, like, one of the girls, like, clearly, like, straightened her hair every day and, like, you know, put on the bandanas, like, but the headband, and just like, ooh, what are you doing? You have braids in your hair?
I see
like,
that.
Why do you have braids in your hair? And just like, bitch, you know, braids in it. You know what?
But she probably went to sleep wearing pigtails.
Yeah. Like, you know, I'm just like, what? Like, you don't know. I literally thought the people in Indiana for the longest time didn't know what braids were. You know, I was just like, what? It's just like, I hated it.
They might not.
But just being around, I was in a mixed kind of environment. So that really helped me. So
what was your blackest time? Like, where you were like, I'm so comfortable and I'm in the space that I need to be in? Or are you not in that yet?
I mean, I'm there right now. But prior to this, college. And that's when I was in a predominantly white university.
Interesting.
That's when I was around the most white people. And it's just, you feel a sense of pride because you have people who hate you, some people who want to emulate you, but not completely. And I don't know, I just felt pride walking around that school, knowing that, like, I earned my way there. Even though you want to talk shit about affirmative action, like, that happened to me on my first day. Someone tried to bring up the freshman orientation the very first day. Someone, we were talking about whatever, and someone automatically brings up affirmative action. They're like, no offense to anyone in here, I'm the only person of color. I'm the only person of color. And me, and I'm just, anyway, long story short, being in college in that situation. What about you?
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I don't think I've hit my blackest period yet. Not a satisfactory black period. And I've always gone to really white schools, really white. I've been in really white spaces a lot. And the only times where I've been around fellow black people was, like, in a space where I felt like there was enough of us, where I felt like I was in the majority or really comfortable enough to be myself, was when I was really young, in different camps and things like that. So I went to, like, a few different camps at universities around the city and stuff. But then there were two camps that kind of stand out to me. One was going to a production camp, actually, in Indianapolis. I sent, I spent a summer with my aunt and uncle that lived there. and we all went to media training kind of thing, which actually got me into all the things that I'm into
That's
now.
Awesome.
I learned Photoshop. We had to record music with a GarageBand, actually.
That's
and so
awesome.
I made an album, and then I had to make my own cover. And then the other thing was, like, you could have been a video and stuff like that.
That's
but
so
I did
cool.
the radio portion.
Yeah.
So, hello, I'm on a podcast now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was really cool. And it was, like, all Black kids, I think. I think maybe there was some Hispanic and maybe some white people, but it was... I just felt normal. I didn't... And after coming back to school after that, I was like, whoa. Like, this is weird. No one gets my references. No one watches... no one watches Girlfriends. You know what I mean? Like, the other one was a crazy experience, which I guess I could go into in several different episodes, but I went to another camp.
Yeah.
My mom knew the lady that ran the camp. It was some expensive thing. And it was actually a bereavement camp, so it was all kids who had really bad deaths in their family.
Yeah.
And like the guys in my bunk, I guess I was in like eighth grade, so it was like 13, 14.
Yeah.
And the guys in my bunk like found their sibling hanging in the closet or watched their parents get shot in the head. And then here I am, like, my grandma was 84. And
yeah,
my mom
like, what
got
the hell
me here for free.
There?
I felt so out of place.
Oh,
but then, like, as we grew our friendships,
your mom
and she threw me into it. I was like, damn, like, we had to go to like group therapy sessions and shit. It was like art therapy still, but it was like, tell me about your favorite memory with your sibling or whatever, whoever died tragically, and they had to talk about the death. And I'm like, I mean, I knew that she was gonna die when she didn't eat the cinnamon roll that I gave her, and so I ate the cinnamon roll because she was 84 and she was probably gonna die. And then everyone was like looking at me like, dude, like, you don't belong here.
Right.
But no, actually, like, I made really good friends and they were multicultural and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I just felt tight knit. And then after that summer, I went to high school and I was the only person from my grade school. And I, you know, like I said in another episode, I was made fun of in high school because I wasn't quote unquote Black enough. So I haven't gotten to that space where it's all Black people that I vibe with, that are interested in the things that I'm interested in. And that's what I want. Like, we live in a city where it's so segregated and so disgusting.
I know.
I experience so many microaggressions daily.
Yeah.
I experienced six today.
Right. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh.
Like, it's just like every day it's some bullshit. And all I want to do is be in a space. It doesn't even have to be just Black people. I just want to be with it people.
Yeah.
People that get it. And I don't want to have to hear comments about my hair.
Oh,
I don't want to have to hear comments about certain music that you assume that I listen to,
okay,
or shows that I assume, or things that I'm supposed to know because you don't know. I don't want to have to hear about that. I just want to be around different people of different cultures, and if we're sharing anything, we're sharing it. You're not forcing me to explain things to you.
Exactly.
That's what I dream of. So I don't know if it's going to be in this city. I don't know where it's going to be, but
I
feel like
I don't know.
I haven't reached that peak Blackness that I need to reach.
Well, that's good, because I mean, you're still young. We're still young, so it's like obviously you want room to grow, but I have no idea where you can go for that.
And I'm not going to a bereavement camp again.
Yeah.
So how can
what
I
the hell?
See? Right.
You think like your mom not even intentionally
have
to say a bad word.
Absolutely.
Not the camp, but I'm saying surrounded you in those spaces where you were the minority.
Did that because where we lived, my public school wouldn't have been,
you would have been in like a city school.
Yeah
And it
wouldn't
have
been
good. Which is so fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I forgot I went to Normandy for like middle school, which is a very predominantly Black school and neighborhood and all that, and it's very, very like very poor in the fact that like the school system is.
Yeah.
And
how was that experience?
I mean, I was very like culture shocked, and obviously I had been around Black people before,
right?
But just like,
it's different.
The fact that no one cared, the adults, like, we were the first class, whatever age I was, to have an honors course in that entire school's history.
That school's been around for a while.
Huh?
That school's been around for a while. Yeah.
It's just like when adults show that they don't care, then the kids, we're just kids, so we're gonna do what we want. I mean, you know, kids were in the back of the class drinking, setting off fireworks in the hallways. Like, it was very much like Lean on Me, that movie.
Really? Well, I mean, but also in my school, the same shit happened.
Yeah.
So it's not like that's kids shit, but also it just, but the adults stopped.
But the adults were the issue.
Yeah.
You know, kids are going to do what the hell you allow them to do. But just the fact adults didn't care.
That school wasn't getting money poured into it. at least not enough money to get poured into it for them to care.
Yeah.
They're basically, you know, working for kibbles and bits.
Yeah, it's so, like a lot of the city schools too.
Yeah. So that's, I think that's why my mom put me in private schools. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Which, I had great experience. I'm not going to say that it sucked going to private school, but one, the force feeding religion thing gets really tiring.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's in a lot of Black communities too, though.
That's true.
You know,
that's true. But like going to mass every single Friday. Come on. And then the second thing, being a minority within the minority, even it was just really hard. Thank God for the internet. I will say some of my blackest space right now is honestly online. Like podcast community people that I connected with and like other things. Like I've just met so many people online, and I know I sound weird because I talk about the internet so much, but I'm an only child and only child of the internet age. So the other only children that are listening, like you probably get it what I'm talking about. Like you met a lot of your
put down friends. The jergens and listen.
It's not a sex thing, but you met a lot of your friends online because that's what we were learning at the time. AIM was coming up and all that stuff. MySpace. A couple people bought some MySpace layouts from me.
Ooh, you were getting it. Hey.
$5 on PayPal, whatever.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I mean, that's how you met friends. So I guess my blackest space is on the internet.
Yeah.
I wish it were before that.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
At this point.
So when you have kids, what spaces ideally will they be in?
I think if I was still in St. Louis, I would love for my children to go to my old high school.
Okay.
It's so, I don't know the word. It's just very, I loved it. I love the experience. Mm-hmm. I would love for them to go to any school, university that they want to go to. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the way that I grew up, for the most part, without the moving everywhere, this place, that place, I think
worked
for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think as a parent, it's going to be hard for you to look at anything if you see your kid. Like, if someone says something racist, like, I took my niece to the playground. I think I told you about this story.
Oh,
and
my God,
there were a bunch of, like, she was the only Black kid. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the kids were, they're just kids, but they were looking at her differently. And she was still very confident, like, oh, this is my swing. You know, she was, you know, very bossy, only child, whatever.
Hey.
But I just was looking at the parents. I'm like, if somebody look at her wrong.
Right.
So I'm just going to be very aware of race. Whereas I feel like my parents, they were just young and they weren't very attentive in that aspect to catch on to those things. Mm-hmm. So I'll just be more attentive when it comes to those things, like your mother was.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess you kind of have to because of the climate that we're in right now. It's the same as the climate that my mom was in when she was our age. My mom's significantly older. So she was our age in the 70s, which was still a very shitty time. We, you know, just like was like desegregated schools and things like that. Hell, you know that there was just like 2 days ago a school in Mississippi that was forced to desegregate? Like in 2016. Anyway, but like putting me in these schools that were PWIs, I don't think that was her goal to have me in a white space. It was just like, this is where we can get good education and this is also what I can afford.
Right.
Like it was, I think it might have been like $7,000 a year for me to go to grade school. I'm like, to count to 10? Right. But she was like, we are not going to, I think it was Roosevelt or some, I don't know what my grade school would have been.
Yeah, Roosevelt's the high school, but.
Roosevelt would have been the high school. That was actually what I was threatened with when I was doing bad classes.
Yes!
All right.
Go, Mama.
But when I was in preschool, actually, she tells this story a lot. She, or I was in a class, well, preschool, whatever, and we were like drawing rainbows, and I added black to the rainbow, and the teacher was like, that's not part of the rainbow, and then I said, like, well, I mean, I'm black, so I want to draw us in the rainbow, or draw myself in the rainbow, whatever, and then the teacher said, well, you're not black, you're brown, and so then I told that to my mom, and my mom took the picture, came back up to school, and she said, my son is black, and if he wants to be black, he's gonna be black, if he wants to be polka dot, he's gonna be polka dot, goddammit, and that was amazing. I didn't know this until like recently, but she was telling me that story and she was like, it just made me so mad that I had put you in a situation where people would have, that didn't want you to be black.
Right.
And I don't know. Like, I don't want my kid to have to go through that. But if it comes down to it, I'll pull in my mama.
Okay.
And go up to the school because, and have to remind them, like, my kid's black and will be treated however they need to be treated. You know, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're not going to isolate them because they're isolated.
Exactly.
And when it comes to, like, living space, if St. Louis is anything like it is right now, I don't want to raise any kids here.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't. It's too segregated.
It is too segregated. I just don't, like, I don't know where else I would want to live. So that's a whole nother topic.
I guess I don't really know.
You know, because I feel like New York's too big for me. LA is too big. I don't, Chicago, it's too much shit going on.
Let me tell you about Chicago.
You know?
So I went to Chicago for my friend's, I think it was his 21st, so his 21st birthday party. And he lives in South Side of Chicago. Not a violent, you know how they say, like, Chirac, whatever. It wasn't like that. It was, like, very reminiscent of a county here in St. Louis, except everyone somehow had a Boston accent.
Okay.
Someone from Chicago, please email us and explain this to me.
Very weird.
Anyway, so a group of us from St. Louis were there, and it was a great time in Chicago, whatever, but we go to this one bar, and this guy comes up to me, like, big, muscly, blonde hair, whatever, and tight t-shirt, low v-neck. And so I'm like, oh, a gay dude, like, whatever. He's like, he clocked me. And so, like, we're talking, whatever. He's like, okay, well, by the way, like, if anyone causes you any trouble, just let me know.
Okay.
And I'm like, well, why would anyone cause me any trouble here? Like, are we cool here? Because I'm thinking that he's talking about being gay. I'm like, we're not. He's like, well, some people don't want you here. And I was like, well, why? He's like, well, because you're black.
Oh.
And it was very just matter of fact, like, well, duh, they don't want you here because you're black in this neighborhood. And so I told my friends and I was like, hey, this is happening and I got to get out of here.
Okay.
So I immediately left and I went straight back to the house because I did not feel safe. And
what?
Then I come to find out, like, it's super racist and super awful. And I had just spent so much time in that neighborhood being like, oh, this is so cute. I would totally raise a kid here. And then in retrospect, I didn't see any black people.
That's so damn bold, too.
It was, but it was so, like, dork normal for him. He was just like, hey, if they have any trouble with you being here, let me know and I'll fight them off for you, basically, is what he's saying. Like, oh, so it's gonna come to fists? Like, because I'm black and I want a fucking Budweiser?
Are you fucking kidding
me? It was real. But that's how those people were raised. And so, like, how do you combat that? They've been raised to just not want black people in their bar.
That's insane.
I don't want
to
raise.
That's what I said. It's like, where the hell do you go? Obviously, just like you said, not going down south where Mississippi is just now desegregating school.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know where to go.
Where is the world going
to
be?
You know, we could go to Wyoming. Maybe it's nice there, but ain't nobody going to look like you.
And Beyonce's not going to Wyoming.
Right.
Maybe she is.
What's a major city in Wyoming? Sorry, listeners. I bet no one's
anybody from
Wyoming?
I don't know. They've listened from everywhere. I saw some different places. It was
Wyoming is never on the map.
It wasn't on the map.
But I will go to Yellowstone one day.
It might get on the map.
Right.
Let's take a short break and then come back.
Okay.
Great. Don't be surprised if she asks with a kiss. Shit. With a kiss. Shit. All right. I hate you so much. All right, now it's time for fake sponsors. I want to first start off. I want to thank my sponsor, Incredible Smiles of Boulder and Metro Denver, Colorado.
Yes.
Not only am I going to get my Lumineers because I want big white teeth.
I want
long Nene Leakes, Hillary Duff, like long bad fake teeth. Like the fake teeth where I can't close my mouth. I want to bite apples through picket fences. Like, I want long finger length teeth. And I want to thank Incredible Smiles of Boulder and Metro Denver, Colorado, for hooking me up. Also, because your website needs some black people on it. Because black people have teeth too.
Okay.
And we want big fake teeth.
Right.
God damn it. So hit me up, Incredible Smiles. I know I sent you that email. We didn't get too much correspondence. But it's okay. I want to thank you so much for being my personal sponsor for the show. Thank you so much.
And use the code THEBLACKTABLE to get 10% off on your... The black table.
You can get 10% off on your molar. Okay. Who's your sponsor?
I'd like to thank Nike for providing us with sneakers because look at these holes in my shoes.
Not these holes. She has holes. She has a hole on the top of her shoe.
I've had these shoes for 2 years.
On the top of
and
her
Nike
shoe.
Saw my feet and they were just like, bitch, you need new pairs of shoes for running, for walking, for whatever it is
running
that you
and walking.
Do. This is, yeah, I've had these shoes for 2 years.
Nike, thank you so much for creating a waist trainer, because I got to, I got to get that get snatched quick. I don't do running and walking. I just need a nice little Nike waist trainer, maybe a Nike liposuction at home thing. Thank you so much. Actually, Shark vacuum.
Oh my
God. Thank you so much for your at home lipo machine. I'm about to get down like Black China and China. All them hoes that do everything in their backyard.
Yeah, they all like get the lipo and then their arms and stuff are still not proportional. It's like,
isn't it nice?
It's
nice.
Some people don't get it on their arms too when they do the stomach and all that. You look sucked. It looks weird. Look, shut the hell up.
I love when torsos collapse and like that's what I'm looking for.
Negative.
So, and I can put my B cups back in. It's fine. Right. Yes. Thanks for listening to our sponsors. Email me back, like for real.
Why you record, my nigga?
Because we have to talk about the Perfect 26. Mm. So, update.
666!
Wow. What was... So, your challenge was...
To spend more time with my niece.
Right. And how'd it go?
It was great. I took her to the zoo.
Great.
It was a phenomenal time.
Please stop talking like that.
Oh, I don't even know what accent that was. Took her to the zoo. And then, you know, I spent another day with her at my parents' house. And we just, like, rocked it out. Danced with the dogs. Played in the basement. Like, cute. You know... Kid shit. Yeah. She's fun. That's my girl. She's like a miniature version of me.
How annoying.
Only crazier. A tyrant.
No.
Yeah. What about your update?
So mine was to spend 2 hours outside every day.
What?
Yeah. And enjoy it. Damn. Right? I think it was 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. But also, this past 2 weeks have been the rainiest weeks of the year. But I will say, I did go outside every day for extended periods of time. Mm-hmm. Like, usually when I let my dog out in the morning and in the night, I just let her out. When she goes to the bathroom, we come inside because air conditioning and television.
Okay.
Right?
No bugs.
But I've gone out and I sit with her. Occasionally I'll play with her, but she likes to get me muddy. And with the rain, and but yeah. So I kind of didn't succeed, but I did enjoy my time outside, whether it was half an hour or 2 hours. Mm-hmm. We did have some long, good walks, though.
Aww.
That's good.
Little Daphne.
Yeah.
Girl, I don't believe that for shit, because you know what? That little bit. No, outside? I'm talking about that dog.
What?
All that energy?
Oh, well, she's a puppy. If someone else has a puppy, and is also living a very sedentary life, can you please tell me like what you did to get your dog to like calm down at night? Because she gets hyper
at night. Yeah,
but that's because she's in the crate most of the day. We're gonna have a dog
talk about
episode.
Crate abuse. We should.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
Episode.
Exciting.
Okay, so next we're gonna figure out what our next challenges are. So we'll take a quick break and then do our drawing and then find out what we're gonna do in the next coming weeks. Yay. And what you might do.
Shit. All right. I'm coming back like, this shit didn't work. Day one.
Well, we picked our challenges.
Did, or did the system pick it?
Okay, so the system picked our challenges, but it's cool. I'm very pleased with mine.
What number was it? Oh, I know. Viente.
That's number 20.
Yeah.
So my number 20 was just to read a book in 2 weeks. So I can do that. I used to like to read like graphic novels, though. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm such a visual person. I love the movies way more than I like the books. I'm one of those.
You're one of those.
I understand imagination, but like as an only child, you live there. So like, what am I doing just reading too?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why can't I just watch a movie and take a break from that shit? But
what are you gonna read? Do you have any idea?
My mom got me some James Baldwin books, and then I have what is the book I have? Just Above My Head. And so I'm gonna read that, I think, or at least most of it. It's kind of
Just Giving Head.
I don't need no tips. Okay. But that's cute. So what was your challenge?
It was my number 13, which was to get money
Bye.
Okay. I was trying to go somewhere. It's not to nitpick with my significant other because I'm very like very anal when it comes to the little things, like not taking out the trash, leaving a bowl with food just sitting there, not closing the cabinets, not wiping the toothpaste off of the sink. That's so disgusting. Like, why is your toothpaste hitting the mirror? Put the toilet seat down, flush, my nigga. Use the soap. Don't drink energy drinks in the shower, you mother. Like, dude, I can go off.
This starts tomorrow, I guess.
This is gonna start tomorrow. Look at you. So I gotta yell at him tonight.
It's like for 2 weeks.
Like, why are you drinking energy drinks in the shower and then leaving the can? Oh my, like, God. That's some filthy ass shit.
I mean,
you know, and when I tell you to clean, it shouldn't be an issue.
When I tell you to clean,
I'm gonna bring him on this podcast.
Right. I need to hear from his side.
Woo! I need to calm down.
The Safari Samuel story.
Shut the fuck up. Okay,
man. But that's okay. So I hope that you have fun trying.
Yeah,
your best.
If anyone has any tips,
right, for real, because she's gonna need it. I've been over there, and it's like, why'd you leave this cabinet open? Why is this plastic cup red? I told you only get blue.
Okay,
like, it's like crazy.
I know.
It's not crazy. I'm just really filthy, and so I don't understand that life.
Yeah,
of putting things away when you're done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like super like, oh my God, anal.
No,
obviously, but it's just
like normal.
You know,
cleanup.
Like, let's be organized. Chaos.
Yeah.
You know?
You're just normal and we're just messy boys.
Right. Nasty as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm backtracking. He had left a cup by the window.
Look at her
and
dog.
There are ants on there. I've never seen ants in our apartment. I've lived there over a year.
Oh, wow.
Like, you left some fucking whatever. Okay.
That's true. Okay. All right. You gotta get it out all tonight.
Okay, I'm done.
You can say for the next 2 weeks, I need you to keep it together for this damn perfect 20 motherfucking
six. I'm just gonna be very passive aggressive.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I forgot to ask. Are you gonna continue hanging out with your cousin more? Or, I'm sorry, your niece?
Yeah, I mean, now that I have a whip, it's a little bit more accessible to get her.
Yeah.
I like hanging out with my niece because she's just, you know, She's everything.
She gives you life.
She gives you life.
Yes.
So
I won't be spending 2 hours outside until the fall before you get to it. I'm not doing that. It's so hot and muggy and humid. Yeah. It's humid today.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful before.
2 hours is a lot to commit
2 hours
to because it's like it's like you get off work and then.
Yeah, but I do have a backyard. I just wish that I had more activities in the backyard than watching my dog.
Well, now you can read out there.
I guess I could. There you go.
Yeah.
So, guys, what are you guys doing for your perfect 26 out there? Has anyone done a perfect 26 challenge, or are you not sticking to the schedule? Have you just picked up a good habit? We want to know. So tweet at us and write to us. Definitely want some emails. Another thing, I just kind of want emails for things that you want to hear on the podcast.
Yeah, definitely let us know that.
Yeah, we want to hear what you guys want us to talk about.
Email us at theblacktableis@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at @blacktablepod. You can also find us on Instagram, @theblacktablepod, on Facebook at @theblacktable, or search The Black Table Podcast.
I hate the voice that you're using, ma'am. Also, listen to us on Podomatic, Acast, Stitcher, and of course iTunes. We'd love for you to rate, review, subscribe, and share. I see that you guys are listening all the time and sharing it, which is awesome.
Thank
and we just really, really love it. Thank you guys for enjoying the show, and we just love you. If you want to connect with us directly, then I'm STFU Strokes on most social media platforms.
And I'm Khadisi, the one and only. Khadeesi.
She just tried to hit a really sad, like, dab type situation.
Hey.
I don't know what that
was.
We just love you guys so much. Thank you guys for sitting at the Black Table.
Appreciate it. And all those people who have been reaching out to me in my DMs about getting rid of the strokes, he's here to stay. I know he's very annoying, but he's here to stay.
And fuck you!
That was my cousin.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we're going to go now.
Are we?
Yeah.
You sure you don't want to stay?
Well, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, yo, this beat is bananas. Skate King Kong the street and put them in the trunk of the Miranda. So when the doors lift up, they fall off. Take a look at my ride, you see the doors is all off. Cause the wheels look flat, trunk so heavy in the back. Got the speakers in the front and they be sitting on my lap. Got the bumpers to the ground. as a lowrider when they come from out of town. And that's cause King Kong. Plus the gorillas behind. So when I'm rolling through your hood,